So why would he use his son's gun? He knew that we would trace it back to that house. It doesn't make sense.
A lot of things don't make sense. Why are nickels bigger than dimes?
That's a good point.
Why does Hawaii have an interstate highway?
Another excellent question.
Why doesn't Tarzan have a beard?
I don't know. I couldn't say.
Why'd the Flintstones celebrate Christmas?
When are you retiring?
TBTM.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's Friday. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
And what we did see is we took them turds and we crammed them in between the number there, so that's 1:30, 2:30, 3:30.
It's embarrassing and it's gross, but at least it's kind of funny.
No dad wants to have this talk with his son, but you're just not eating enough hot dogs.
Well, you have found my flabbergast button, and guess what? You've pressed it.
Hey, look here. Why don't we eat us a few thousand bears and you tell me what's buzzing in the big bad city?
All right, everybody. Hello, good morning, and welcome to a Friday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
That's a tuna, bro.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
Hello, everyone.
Coming to you once again from the offices of Walsh, Walsh & Dormat in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington, where it continues to rain torrentially outside. Now, let me just be clear. This is a Friday edition of the show, but it's being recorded right after the Thursday edition of the show. So I can't speak to what the weather is as you all are hearing this show. It could be sunny and 80, could be snowing, who knows? But as far as this very moment in time, as I look out the window of the offices of Walsh, Walsh & Dormat, which, by the way, appreciate having the blinds open. I know normally when I'm not here, the blinds are shut. Everything is taped over with cardboard and things to try to really keep it as dark and depressing in here as possible. As I look out this window right now, it is rainy, and I guess that's just how it's going to be here on episode 3093 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
It is going to be such a fun show, though no one will even notice that it is wet and dreary outside, because we are going to be talking to a couple of gentlemen in this room with me about their aspirations to finally make it on the stand-up comedy stages of America.
When it comes to comedy, I'm sort of like a little bit of Eddie Murphy Raw and, several others.
What you love is just that guy's not in any hurry to get to the joke. And that's, I think, that's amazing. Hey, speaking of people who are just naturally funny, let's welcome the longest-running Cobro of the show to the program, known for his drawings of tall ships.
Please welcome God's one and only voice of comedy.
He is Andrew Wall. She is joining me right now from across the table. Good morning, my friend. Welcome to the program. You have been grimacing throughout that intro.
Yeah, I always grimace through your intros. You just don't usually see me. No, that's not true. I have a lot of issues with the way you are setting up this conversation about comedy. I want to get in front of that. I know that we will get to that in a moment.
Yeah, don't actually.
But at the beginning, I just want to say I reject your description of the scenario regarding me, and I want the listeners to know I regret telling you what we will discuss in a little bit.
And that's usually the mark of a good conversation on this program, when you let something slip that you regret, and now I'm going to... I'm
exploit
not going to let it go.
Honestly, I mentioned something to you yesterday, and we were not in the same room, but I almost literally heard a light bulb go off above your head.
It was the most excited I've felt all week. Meanwhile, you're just here in Roosevelt.
Because I sit with it.
Just stewing in your own juices.
Stewing.
Hey, speaking of people who really are genuinely funny and really are doing stand-up comedy around town, let's welcome our special guest here for day two of his time on the program. He is, of course, one of the co-founders of this program. He is the known in some places as Japan's number one mixer. He is Sean DeTore.
Hello, my weight's 146.5, same as yesterday.
He's sitting right over there. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Luke. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Your voice has changed a lot. You've lost some of your Cockney accent.
Yeah, I've lost most of that Cockney accent. Now I just have a regular old... Yeah.
Hello, my weight's 146.5, same as yesterday.
Sean, can I ask you a serious question?
Excuse me, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sean is his government name. His name on TBTL now is Zhuzh.
I'm sorry, Zhuzh. Can I ask you a serious question? People come here for serious questions.
Yeah.
Do you like the sound of your own voice?
Ooh. I have come to like it when it's
in. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Who brought the GD kids? you know, on my rider, it says no GD kids. Uh-huh. Regular kids are fine, but not GD kids. When my voice is in the right element, yes, I do like it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, if I listen back, I don't know. There's some. I think sometimes. Sometimes I feel if I listen back, I know my voice can be a little higher, and I do like it when it's very deep and I have purpose.
Really? That proximity effect on the microphone.
I don't know. Why? Do you like your own voices?
I just hate your voice, and I was curious.
How dare you?
No.
Why would you do that?
I love your voice.
Your story.
I hear people will often tell me, when I'm meeting somebody for the first time, often over the phone, and then they find out I work in radio, they'll be like, of course, you have such a radio voice.
People say that to me, too, and I do not have a radio voice.
I do not. I sound like a Muppet who just woke up.
I don't get it either for myself, and it's really complimentary, and I love it, though.
Yeah.
Let me mention, too, that it's interesting that we're talking about Sean's voice, because, Sean, you actually do, because of your work over at the radio station, you do a lot of production that happens that is played during the Mariners broadcasts.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So, like, even though we don't have you on the show as much as I wish we did, because you're always great and I miss you. But I feel like you're never far from my heart, because I'll be mowing the lawn and I'm listening to the baseball game, and just when I least expect it, boom, getting a little vitamin D.
Oh, that's awesome.
My life.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, you're always popping up on the radio talking about bobbleheads and recycling.
Well, that's nice that they're still playing those. I recorded those so many years ago.
Really?
They must just be in regular rotation.
Mm-hmm. That's not even your you're not doing those currently? Those are just kind of holdovers?
They're holdovers, but I still do some Mariner stuff. It's kind of random what I do when I go to work there, but it's really nice that they're holding those over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I enjoy it. Don't you have one of them there, Walsh?
Yeah, well, I did. You know, I just played it a second ago before the show, and now it seems to have disappeared.
How
here,
could that happen?
He can hit, run, and field. And now he bobbles.
I love that little drop so much.
Okay, a couple things, Sean. I noticed that we talked on yesterday's show probably too much about weight and exercise and all that, because it's sort of a holdover from, or at least it was something that was a big part of the earliest days of TBTL. But I did notice that as we were rolling the intro package for today's edition of the show, you were enjoying some kind of cookie.
I call cakes big old cookies. Mm-hmm.
But they're like, I've seen this brand before. They're like Lenny and Carl's.
Lenny and Larry. Yeah.
I know that brand because it's like low carb cookies, I think. That's kind of their deal, right? Or something.
Yeah.
And I was trying them for a while, but are you eating low carb? Did you just buy those?
No, I'm not eating low carb, but I can't eat dairy and certain other things. And so these cookies have no egg, no dairy. They're plant based. It's no soy, it's vegan. And so these cookies that I have here in front of me that say contagiously crunchy.
Yeah.
This is the newer Lenny and Larry. They have a crunchy line, but they also have the 4 ounce and 2 ounce soft cookie line, which are the best.
How long have you, I know that you, there was, in fact, it was a big part of the show, kind of whether or not you had celiac. Is this like, since when can't you have eggs?
I can have eggs. It's more the dairy. So a lot of stuff you buy on the shelves like this, a lot of the processed foods, a lot of it has like milk in it, or it says used milk as, you know, something in there. So these cookies don't have it. They have everything in there I can eat. Everything in this cookie I can have.
When did you figure out that you couldn't have dairy? And is this what was going on that whole time when we were doing the show and you had the repeats and we thought you had celiac? Is it just that you're basically lactose intolerant?
It's lactose and plus other things. So nightshades, allium, so like garlic and onion and all.
So is this lectins are bad for you?
Probably lectins. So I just stay away from all things dairy. But if I do treat myself like I tend to do sometimes, last Friday I had pizza at a restaurant, and then I went home and I bought myself, I went to the store and then I bought myself a Red Baron.
Wait.
So you doubled down on the pizza.
You had a follow-up pizza.
Yeah. Well, I had a slice at the place.
Oh, okay.
And then I bought a small pie for myself, because if I'm going big, gentlemen, I'm going home.
You've already to eat the Red Baron.
If I'm going big, I'm going home.
You know it.
Can I share that? I feel like that needs to be done.
That's also 100% your lifestyle, Drew. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
like
absolutely.
I've never seen his veins pop out of his forehead before.
Because he feels seen for the first time.
Exactly.
And the biggest Andrew can go is to go home and play Civilization 5 by himself.
I'm going to make that the show title, and everybody's going to be shocked when they hit play and find out that you're the one who said that.
Dude, now I just, ugh, being home is the best.
I love that you celebrated a delicious piece of pizza with more pizza. Yeah. I yesterday, I'm doing this whole thing of trying to get back to, you know, my early days of TBTL weight. We'll see how it goes. But I exercise. I'm using this app called Lose It where I try to track what I'm eating. I'm terrible at it because I don't know. I said this to Andrew like earlier in the week, I think. I don't know how much volume anything is. So I went to this restaurant last night in Bellingham called The Fork, and I got a salad. It's a green salad. It had a sherry vinaigrette dressing. It had some carrots in it, some lettuce. I don't know how much salad that was. Like, I don't know if it was. So if you go to this app, it's like green salad. The greens are like 20 calories for four cups.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, maybe it was four cups of greens. And then I find the dressing and they're like, it's this amount per tablespoon. Well, I don't know how many. It didn't seem overly dressed. I'm guessing three tablespoons and then they tossed it. But anyway, I got to this point where so I ordered a pizza because they have really delicious pizza there. And I ate half of it. And I'm inputting each slice for what I think the calories are. And it's telling me how close I'm getting. I'm trying to eat a certain number of calories every day so that I will be in caloric deficit so that I will lose a little bit of weight.
Okay. What's your goal, caloric goal?
I'm allowed to have about 1,600 calories a day. I think the average male on a day burns about 2,000 calories just being alive. And so if you eat 1,600, obviously you're 400 caloric. And I'm trying to do this other thing, which is I don't put my workout in now. So I used to put the workout in, and then it would free up 1,000 calories.
And
then
you feel like this.
I would just eat the 1,000 calories.
Yeah, right.
So I'm trying to – but it's like when you set your clock 10 minutes ahead, but you just know it's 10 minutes fast. Like, so I'm not putting in the workout stuff because I'm just trying to treat that as its own thing. But anyway, so I'm looking at this pizza, and I'm also – this restaurant, The Fork, is just in Bellingham. It's a one-off. So there's no, like, if I put slice of cheese pizza, thin crust, which is basically what they make, it's trying to tell me what a Little Caesars thin crust piece of pizza is. Right. So I'm just really guessing at this. But I input all of the pizza I've had, and I realize that I'm basically at my calories for the day, and I've had a, you know, half of a sort of personal size thin crust pizza. And I'm looking at the other half, and I'm just like, that's the whole workout. That's everything I did in the gym. Everything that is why I can't move today is that half of that pizza. And I'm just looking at it and I'm just like, it's me. It's me or the pizza. Don't. And then, of course, I ate it.
Did you go for it?
Yeah, of course. 100%.
Yeah. And that's for me. The reason I doubled down briefly, the reason I doubled down is because I know I'm going to have an effect.
Right. For you, it's physical.
Gastrointestinally.
So you're like, let's just go.
Let's go for it.
But, let's go hard and go home and then go hurt the toilet.
That will not be part of the show.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
What? But things happen in degrees, right? If you're allergic to something and you actually take a little bit of it, you might have a smaller reaction than if you take in a whole bunch. You'll have a bigger reaction. Is that the same for
you,
or
same.
Is it all
That's
or nothing?
That's the same. So, but once I get a taste of that pizza or whatever the food item is, I'm just going to have more because I might as well spend an extra 15
You're more. Already blocking the next day out for being home and dealing with the situation. There was a This American Life episode years ago now. I remember where I was standing when I was listening to it. I was standing in the backyard of that house in Mount Baker that I used to have. And it was, and I probably was doing yard work. And they were talking about how one of the leading reasons that people are admitted to the emergency room is for allergic reactions to food, and that a large percentage of those people know they're allergic to the food in question. But it's just like, you might be allergic to tomatoes, but doggone it, you want to have some pizza. And that's what people are doing.
And it's like, my throat's not going to close up, knock on wood, because
it's not anaphylactic what you're dealing with.
Exactly. These afflictions.
It's crapophylactic.
Crapophylactic.
Yes.
I hope.
It's fun having Sean here because now it's two against one. Andrew's outnumbered when it comes to potty humor.
Yeah, you thought I was grimacing before.
Nobody starts a potty like these two over here. God.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, so you're eating your...
Yeah.
And I have to say, too, this Lenny and Larry's, they're really bringing that, like, we're mentally ill, so our product is good vibe.
Oh, their logo.
Which
look
I feel like has kind
guys.
Of gone away.
Yeah, you can see it better on the back.
When we were growing up... Maybe part of this because we talk about mental health differently now, but when we were growing up, everything was like, I'm Crazy Larry, and I've got too many Ford Fiestas.
Crazy Eddie was one I remember from the East Coast.
Everybody was like, it was just like everything you were buying was from some person who'd lost their damn mind.
Exactly.
And there was actually a guy in LA up until not that long ago called Crazy Gideon.
Really?
And his commercials is he would stand on the top of his building and act like he was going to jump off, which is dark. Really, that's
really dark. Yeah, I mean, we need, this is... goes back to my point. We need more mental health care in this country, and we needed to destigmatize it.
But how am I going to get a deal on a washer dryer?
Like, this isn't just about appliances. This is
Can I play you a Crazy Gideon commercial? Yeah. I think this will probably lose something in that you can't see the visuals. This is from 1998. Crazy Gideon. I'll try to narrate it a little bit here.
We may be crazy, but we're not stupid. Crazy Gideon.
I suck them deep and sell them cheap. If you don't buy from me, we're both losing money. Call me before. Traveling will save a lot. I'm insane. I want to sell the mountain deck. I love you. Wow. If you don't buy from me, you're crazy.
He's just being superimposed over various pieces of electronics, and he's just like green screened over them, and he's just screaming. I know that was probably not that interesting from an audio standpoint, but Larry and Lenny are they're really they're the last of that
whole
vibe. That's
their vibe.
I feel like we don't do that anymore very much.
I also like how Crazy Gideon seemed to run out of words to say, and he just screamed.
Yeah, I've done that on TBTL. I worry about Crazy Gideon's family. You know what I mean? They're the ones who really take, obviously, you know, have to shoulder a lot of this burden when you have somebody in the family who's struggling with
that. Yeah, a ton of pressure on them to try to.
But they're really making it with these commercials.
Yeah, figure out, you know, Hitachi, 30-inch television, you know?
Oh,
Do they even make
30 inches anymore?
Now that Crazy Gideon is institutionalized, it's like we're picking up the pieces. He actually did, I think that shop closed down, and it was like a big story in L.A. at the time. It was like when I was living there, because everybody, we talk about this a lot on the show, but everybody in their local town has their, like, the kind of, here in Seattle, when I was growing up, it was Jack Roberts, Linwood Home Appliance, I Won't Be Undersold. Mm-hmm. There was also Flynn from Flynn's Carpets,
who is
still on the sides of buses. His weight has gone up and down. He used to be a really big guy. Then he got, I think, gastric. He got really skinny. Now he's sort of heading north again. Mm. But the reason I feel comfortable mentioning is because he would talk about it on his commercials. He used to say, my name is Flynn, and I know two things. I need to lose weight, and I sell carpet for less. Like, he's a really kind of, like, awesome, funny, interesting character. Shawnee, you lived in New Jersey till about when?
Till I was about 9 years old.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, so that's some prime after-school TV watching time to see some of this stuff.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we had Crazy Eddie. I remember we had this brand of ice cream over there called Carvel.
Oh, sure. And like, if you got the diapers, I got the time. It's an audio drop we play on the show.
From what? Look Who's Talking Now, I believe.
Whatever the second Look Who's Talking movie. I believe it's John Travolta.
Yeah. Is that when the
talking to Bill Bruce Willis?
Is that when the dog starts talking?
Was it the second one or the third one? Because there's Look Who's Talking 2 and then Look Who's Talking. Is this from Look Who's Talking 2?
Then Look Who's Talking Now was the third one.
Look Who's here.
I think Look Who's Talking Now is the dogs, the third one.
Okay, yeah.
What do you say we go out and get some Carvel?
What?
I got the time if you got the diapers.
Oh, my God. I thought you were making a lactose joke for me.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's from number 2.
Yeah. So
to speak.
Perfectly.
Wow.
Thank you for getting there. What about you, Walsh, in Ohio?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that, but it's better than talking about what you said at the
beginning
of the
show. Sean, we'll take it from here. So, you and me.
No, I can't remember. I can't remember off the top of my head the actual sales pitches, but I do know that we had Big Chuck and Little John, and they were like local.
Oh, right.
So
and we played them on the show, and within 4 seconds, it got weird.
Yes, exactly.
Because I think there was something vaguely homophobic going on, or there were accents.
Well,
there was,
I
remember we couldn't play the whole commercial.
So this is like 1980s, like really 70s and 80s Cleveland, and there's still a tradition of like having these very local just corny ass people introducing horror movies on Saturday afternoons.
Oh, sure.
And that was their thing. And they also did skits, like the lowest budget skits you could possibly imagine, always starring them. Now, Cleveland, kind of like Chicago, is a very kind of like Eastern European city. There's like a huge Eastern European kind of population there. So it kind of bled into the humor a lot in the, I mean, first of all, Polish jokes and Polak jokes in the 80s were huge anyway, but I still think that like in Cleveland there was a lot of that. So they wouldn't say Polish jokes. They would say a certain ethnic guy jokes or whatever. And it was always like kind of playing on that. Now, I'm pretty sure that they were probably both Polish or something along those lines. But yeah, a lot of the humor does not stand up to 2020.
Sean, mores. Did you get here to the Northwest in time for the Ranger Charlie and Roscoe show?
I do remember
11.
I do remember Ranger Charlie and Roscoe. Wasn't MJ McDermott like one of the
she might have
weather
been
weather women here. She was on one of those shows.
She
might
have been. I just found this on YouTube. I think this is the second Ranger Charlie. So MJ may have been the first Ranger Charlie. I don't remember.
Okay.
But this was the second one. But it says Ranger Charlie and Roscoe birthday rap. So I feel like this has some strong potential. Ranger Charlie and Roscoe. Roscoe was a raccoon puppet. Ranger Charlie was a ranger. And they would introduce the whatever cartoons and stuff on the local TV station on Channel 11, which I think was based out of Tacoma.
And Charlie was a woman.
The Ranger was a woman. Let's go a little. There we go. They're coming back from the break.
Oh, what a great time.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back.
Oh, Ranger Charlie. Ranger Charlie, isn't it about time for, you know, the bestest song ever, you know, in the whole wide world, the one I love so much?
Oh, you mean your favorite song?
I'm going to mention quickly that this Ranger Charlie is wearing an outfit that is total hype beast. This would be so in style right now. She has a normcore pink hat that's just like a baseball cap that's perched atop her head, high-waisted jeans. She is so on trend for current fashion.
You know it.
Something about putting paws on liver pizza?
No. That's not the song. Come on. It's the one we sing to all those lucky birthday kids.
Oh, this is perfect. This might replace Tim Heidecker, seeing how this goes.
Sometimes I just forget about birthdays, Ross.
By the way, they're cutting to these kids, you know, it's like that kind of thing where they have kids also as part of the gang, but the kids don't know they're on TV. So there's just one kid who's just like missing a couple of teeth, just staring into the middle distance. He is completely astrally projected out of his body during this segment at some sound studio in Tacoma, Washington.
Oh, birthdays? Oh no!
Here we go.
Oh well, let's sing it anyway.
This birthday rap better slay.
Dig that beat.
What?
Hey, kids. It's birthday time.
This case draws.
So join us now for our birthday rhyme. We got Roscoe, the kids, Ranger Charlie, too. Ready to wish.
They're just scrolling a list of names next to them.
Happy bubba birthday to you. Happy. Happy, happy birthday to you.
The kids that are in the studio want to be anywhere in the world other than doing this rap. They are so massively. Sean, look at these. Look at these two kids. They're so unhappy to be there. But I would like to say a belated happy birthday to Brittany Boswell, Tiffany Bishop, Heidi Van Dyken, Courtney Thomas, Tony Tam Vongsa, Nicole Jackson, Sabrina Moggin, Sean Scriven, Ashley Kelly, Brittany Salvatore, and Tony Macias. Those are the names that happen to be freeze-framed on the screen. What are the chances that one of those people is a 10?
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
If you're listening to this, please still be alive. Yes. And get a hold of us.
If one of those, what would we do if one of those random, I don't know, 9-10 names I just read, if one of them grew up to be a TBTL listener?
Mm-hmm. And
Tony Macias sounds kind of familiar.
Barbara fan.
Actually, Sean Scriven. Oh, shit. Brittany Salvatore is gone, is golf man.
I had a feeling.
Scriven seems familiar. Sean Scriven. Sean Scriven turned 8 when this came out. So anyway, sorry to take us down that road. How about we take a quick break and then we come back. We will talk about stand-up comedy and Andrew's burgeoning career. You know, the number one thing you can do to make me mad is to talk about how you don't want me to talk about your comedy that way. And we'll do some music for your weekend because it's a Friday. My music for your weekend is going to be the Ranger Charlie birthday rap.
People love our Blur's Day song. We saw that at the live show. So I don't know that I can really mess with it, but man, that's tempting.
Yeah.
That's a good Blur's Day rap.
Mess with perfection, though. Yeah. Honestly, there are weeks where I only do the show so I can hear that Tim Heidecker song. All right, quick break and then back with more TBTL. Stay with us.
Friends talking about things over ISDN. When the radio is imaginary, the fun never ends. We'll talk
talk about sport and Townsend's port.
We'll share in each other's lives,
and every now and again we'll gather the tens and give each other high fives. It's TBTL for you, it's TBTL for me. Too beautiful to live or die, we'll climb those mountains high. It's TBTL for you, it's TBTL for me. Let the eagles soar higher than ever before. Don't forget about Jen and Sean Detour. Email us or just give us a call. No mountain too tall, and good luck to all.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Ma, Pa, it's just beautiful.
Now that reminds me, that's of course our friend Celine Ramadan, aka Prom Queen, and this man right over there, Sean Detour.
Oh, that was so fun making that song for this show. Good.
Was it fun making this rap song though that you made years ago? Remember we had a rap contest?
Yeah, and it had a flute in the rap.
I remember this. I remember listening to this.
You were like in New Hampshire mowing your lawn.
I remember this. Yes.
So it was like you and Jen, right?
Yeah.
There was a contest who could write a better rap song.
Yeah, and I wrote a pretty good rap and a really excellent beat.
I remember your beat was ahead of its time, if I can say this.
Yes,
because
was it?
I remember Luke was a little bit befuddled by it.
He was critical of the flute.
And yes. I was like, I just think that this
also,
is kind of next level.
You did put some things down and reverse them. There was some like, well, in fact,
I think
we have it right here. Let's just take a
phase.
Listen.
What?
Trouble comes at the worst time.
Oh, wait a sec. You know what happened? With the lyric, did Jen write the lyrics? I feel like this was.
I think she
you
wrote.
All
them.
Had to work with the same lyrics.
I think I didn't do it. I have some dignity, but I believe Jen wrote the lyrics, and then I think she made her rap song, and then it was like Sean. You said, "Well, I could do this better," or something. Because I don't think you wrote these lyrics.
Yeah,
I think
I'm using her lyrics, and I made my own beat for it.
Sounds very Shabazz Palace-y.
It does sound Shabazz Palace-y.
Trouble comes at the worst time. If hope then fails, is that by design? I work for a dollar, then I give it all for love. Kids in rent, it's like I'm being shoved from above. Oof, oof. When do I get mine?
When do I shine?
When do I shine? When do I get mine? When do I shine? I don't know. I want a G&T on a Friday night stoop. I dream up spending time and not jumping through hoops. Is it true that people sit for hours on some books? When I have time to think, it's about bills, I'm on the hook.
Ow!
When do I get mine?
So this would have been happening, I guess, live.
Yeah.
And Jen yelling in the background.
Oh, my God.
When do I shine? Now the light in the cracks is showing me the way. I don't need glory, just joy in every stage. Nothing can defeat me when my eye is on the prize. Like Dolly once said, she's an eagle when she flies. Now when do I get mine?
Definitely Jen wrote that. Instead of Dolly Parton.
I've always had mine.
That beat is sick, though.
It is. It's pretty
good. Really, no joke. Is ahead of its time, which is why I don't like a lot of current hip hop, because that's exactly the kind of like weird
that
like,
loopy kind.
It sounds like the cat. I probably said this back then, but it sounds like the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland.
Oh yeah,
A-A-E-I-O-U-E. That stuff always gives me kind of a weird mournful.
You don't like anything that's kind of like in the minor key or has.
I also
a bit
don't
of
like
a
Sean getting his time to shine.
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering when I would get mine.
Yeah,
I still haven't.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Okay, the top story is, Sean, you recently did stand-up comedy. Speaking of our friend Celine, who I got a confirmation from her that it's – people are figuring out that she – if she's not Snacks the Rabbit, she knows Snacks. She has a close connection, mm-hmm. can get information to Snacks the Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And Snacks has been doing this kind of variety show here in Seattle,
and
you did like a comedy thing there. What did you do? What was your bit?
Yeah, so this is it's definitely more visual because so here's the basic idea. I came up with this while I was looking at the movie Prizzy's Honor, and I was like, oh, Prizzy's a great name. And then Celine at one point before the show.
Is that with Jack Nicholson?
Yes.
I've never heard of it.
What is that even about?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's one of those.
He wasn't watching it. He was looking at it.
I was looking at the cover of it for some reason.
I feel like it has bullet holes.
Around them in a heart shape. Prizzy's Honor. But but Celine was like, you know, I think it's pronounced Pritzy. And I was like, I don't know. Just say Prizzy, please, when you introduce me. So
Prizzy, please. What do we say, Prizzy, please? Was this one of your jokes?
No. Oh. That's an all Luke original.
It's a freebie.
So the idea behind this was that whenever I go to a show, you know, you go to a show, you see maybe an acoustic guitarist, singer-songwriter, and they're sort of strumming the guitar along as they're telling you a little bit about the song. I wrote this song.
You know who's good at that? Somebody you've had on the remix show and that we've had on LiveWire, John Craigie.
I remember John Craigie.
Yeah, I heard him on your show.
Yeah, yeah, I interviewed him many years ago.
He's got a great vibe with that. Talking, strumming, talking.
So here's the joke. And my idea was that I would talk and strum and then just never get to the song. And I'm like, the time's up.
Do you know how to strum a guitar?
I do. And
oh, good.
Snacks let me borrow a guitar that was there. So I sat on stage because I have my own, but I borrowed one of hers. And I wrote this whole thing out, a little bit of a backstory about Prizzy. Prizzy's 40.
So wait, you're
I'm in character. Like, this is my first character thing.
Okay, what's this character's name?
Prizzy.
Oh, okay. So the character is named Prizzy from Pritzy's Honor.
No, it's just a name that I like.
You were just inspired.
I like the name Prizzy. And so the title of my act is Prizzy Owns a Guitar.
Okay.
That's just a fact.
Okay,
Prizzy owns a guitar.
I mean, even though technically Prizzy did borrow the guitar from Snacks and it's pronounced Pritzy. Other than that, I would say two for two.
Other than that, it's great.
Okay. So you go up there. Did you write out what you're like? What you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, so I wrote out sort of, in my mind, sort of a good intro and what a good body would be of what I'm talking about and see if it would flow until the very end. So I have a few things here that from my act. Do you want me to get into character and recite these? Because there's video of this
online.
I'm
a hard maybe on this.
A hard maybe?
Yeah. Okay, do it. Let's hear a little Prizzy.
Okay.
So let me – can I just ask you this as far as character development?
Yes.
What was Prizzy's like – like, I don't want to say motivation, like this is some drama class, but like, what were you going for with this character? What was Prizzy's deal?
Well, I can tell you because I wrote that down.
Oh, okay.
So, Prizzy is 42 years old. Coincidentally, I am also 42 years old.
Okay.
Born in Prizzy, Sicily, but he and his family moved to the States early on. Prizzy is an earnest guitarist. He's sensitive and really wants people to bond with his words and his music, and he's not intentionally funny.
Okay.
So that's his backstory that I had to get in. I wore a whole wig.
What kind of wig?
It's just like a blonde wig. I had these Dwayne Wayne flip-up glasses.
Nice. And did you do a voice because he's from Italy?
Yeah. No, I did I did a voice. This is my first comedy as a character.
Okay.
The other comedy that I did years ago was actual stand-up. But for this, I was literally sitting on a stool, strumming and talking. And I wasn't expecting anyone to laugh. And so that wouldn't have hurt my feelings if nobody did because my idea was just to mess with the audience and just they would be on edge. Like my friends afterwards, people that didn't know what I was doing were like, we were really hoping you were going to start shredding that guitar and like really play something.
I'm getting some guitar strumming sound together here by way of youtube.com.
Okay.
Preview.
Stop.
No, it's a preview. Preview.
I did have someone in the back saying preview.
It's classic Prizzy.
Every 30 seconds.
They're trying so hard for us not to steal this, but yeah. You know what? We'll take it.
Okay, so, lay it on me, Prizzy.
I walk up on stage.
Preview.
Preview.
Hello, my name is Prizzy, and as you can see, I own a guitar. I am 42 years old. I was born in the town of Prizzy on the island of Sicily. And my family and I moved to the States sometime in 1984. Look, numbers don't matter tonight. Just like that song by Prince. Money don't matter tonight. You know, money don't matter tonight. Sure didn't matter yesterday. Tonight what matters is the music. So this song I want to play for you is called Late Night Hang. And I wrote it on a dark and stormy night. Actually, I was drinking a dark and stormy. You know, the cocktail made from darkness and storms and bad fucking memories. And that's about it. That's the first half.
Let me ask you this, Prizzy. First of all, I love the accent. Mm. I do think Prizzy should stop smoking because Prizzy is
I'm worried about those
definitely
pipes.
Advanced.
I know.
Some kind of advanced lung situation.
You're telling me.
You said you were just – you wanted to mess with the audience. By the way, I'm going to keep this drumming going for me now because I'm vibing with this preview. What was the audience reaction? Were they laughing more than you thought or less than you thought?
They were laughing more than I expected.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm proud of you that you're comfortable being in that space knowing – well, maybe this is not going to make people laugh, but it's going to be interesting or I'm going to be finding – because I would rather die than go into some sort of performance knowing that there's a chance. I mean, many of the performances that I do leave the room in silent, apoplectic confusion. But I never go in like with that being a possible outcome. I'm hoping desperately that doesn't happen.
Yeah. No, I had like 2 weeks of clarity, I think. I was in between drinking and not drinking. I was sort of smoking a lot of pot, but I was like...
It's interesting form of clarity. A little ayahuasca.
But so I just, I don't know. I thought of this, okay. And Celine had this thing going on, Snacks Time, which is brilliant, yeah. A brilliant showcase every month at Hotel Albatross.
So Celine produces it for Snacks? Is that how that works?
Yeah, Celine works in tandem with Snacks.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And right. So she
that's
gave
why
me,
I never see her during the show. She's probably behind the scenes making sure that everybody's getting their cues.
Yeah, logistics, time management.
Gotcha.
So she let me have a slot. I told her my idea that...
Prizzy plays but never gets to the song.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then how did you – I don't want to give anything away, but like how did you get out of it?
Well,
how did it end?
I had also a fake phone call. I set my timer on my phone so then it would ring and I could like pick up and be like, oh, it's my manager, Bobby. Bobby! And so I had that as part of it. So how it ends is I asked the sound guy. I was like – on this last line that I say, I gave him a bit of the script. When I say this.
So I gave him a bit of money. I greased his palms. That's what Prizzy would do, though.
That's what Prizzy would do.
Yeah, yeah. Buy yourself something nice.
Yeah. So when I said the last line of the thing, he was like, hey, Prizzy, time to wrap it up. And I was just about like to get to the song. And then I'm like, that's my time. You know? Nice.
Were you worried that the sound guy would not do his part on time and you would have to then start improvising an actual song?
Yes. Yes, I was worried.
As soon as you said that, I started to get really stressed out for Prizzy.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to bring Prizzy back?
I'd like to. I kind of want it to be like an Ernest sort of thing. You know, Ernest goes to camp, Ernest goes to jail. It'd be like,
know what I mean, Vern?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would be like, so Prizzy owns a guitar. The next one is like Prizzy owns a cat or Prizzy something, you know, and just have like a different, but people that saw this know that I'm not going to get to the song. So I would love to try this one particular act again, exactly the same and just to do it again. But I think if I do get more clarity from the ayahuasca that I would love to do a series of Prizzy acts.
Did you have, you had this like basically the stuff on your phone of what you thought Prizzy was going to talk about. Did you have your phone? Were you looking at your phone on stage or were you just like doing it from memory or just improvising?
excuse me. I get really emotional talking about this.
I know. It's obviously near and dear to your heart.
I had a sheet of paper and the lighting on that stage was so horrible. I thought I was going to be able to read through my Dwayne Wayne flip-up shades.
Oh, no.
So I made up. I improvised. Said, I brought my lyrics out here. I might have to look at them sometimes, but that's not a bad thing.
I'm very impressed with the voice.
I do. I feel like this character.
I cannot do that. I cannot do a fully realized voice.
Well, you better learn
kind.
How to do it, Andrew, because one of the things that you let slide the other day that you now regret.
I literally have been purposely not telling you this for months. Because of this, I'm not mad at you, Luke.
Are you
I'm
doing stand up sometimes?
Yes, this is what I'm saying.
No, here's what happened. I went to Snacks' very first show, and I was inspired by everybody going up there. I think everybody has 5 minutes, right? You go up there, do a variety show.
I noticed you didn't come to the one I did.
No, actually, you know, I did not know that you were performing until afterwards.
Well, Prizzy was there. Sean
Prizzy,
was,
right,
was
yeah. But you were there. I'm sorry, you were there. Prizzy was performing. Yeah, you were just watching.
She was just a vessel through whom Prizzy was living.
But after the, well, I should say, on a theme here, during the show, I was definitely enjoying. They have some really good tiki drinks there, which then ended up turning into gin and tonics. And
by the way, that used
really
to be an Azteca.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, best peace
nice
and love to
with it.
Peace and love to Azteca, which loomed large in the origins of TBTL. But man, that's a big improvement.
Oh yeah,
that Albatross place is rad.
They did a really nice job with it. Yeah. But anyway, so I was pretty. I was really enjoying the scene. I don't go to a lot of things like that, and I was like, "This is so cool. Snacks is so cool." And then I. You know, probably the alcohol kind of like got into my brain a little bit. And so I said to Celine, who produces the show afterwards, I'm like, yeah, you know what? If you're still doing this a year from now, I'll do a set.
Has it been a year?
Because it was like five. No, it hasn't been a year. But it's like, you know, I'm like, I see, you know, people are out there. They're trying things. They're kind of putting themselves out there. Some things are landing. Some things aren't. It seems like a safe space. This is all, again, the gin talking. And so I'm sort of like, okay, a year from now, if you're still doing this, I'll do it. And then I don't think I forgot it, but I think I was pretty sure that Celine would have forgotten it, and then it was clear didn't.
Did you notice my reaction when about it? Yeah. That is the normal reaction of a person who knows
And so then I've been trying to like downplay it and kind of back out of it.
So she's been pestering you? Not to use the word pester.
She has not been pestering me, but I did see her recently, and she did mention, like, we were actually at the Hotel Albatross the other day, and she said, yeah, and pretty soon it'll be you up there. And I was like, I didn't tell her that, no, I'm actually working – I'm actively working to get out of this.
Your
but
hope
I don't
was
know.
If you never brought it up again, she would forget, and then
and
it
just
would
know
just
that
be...
I'm a louse.
Well,
so you're not going to try to make this show end before a year. You're not going to burn.
That's what I'm wondering about. That's a
all
legit.
Hey, listen.
My concern was like, wait, who interrupted the Iran peace deal? It's a bearded guy. He wants there to be a nuclear war so he won't have to do 5 minutes of stand-up?
Yeah, I can take
Albatross?
A little bit of your Prizzy character. I'm just saying, bunnies have accidents every day.
Be not ashamed bad. If something happened to this nice microphone.
Soon it turns into Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, right?
Oh,
jeez.
Wow.
So
anyway, I don't know what to do. So I told you, Luke, I never told you that, Luke, because I knew this would happen. But I did tell you that I started, and this happened literally from a dream I had like 2 years ago, where I woke up and I realized I'd had this dream where I was supposed to do a stand-up set and I had no jokes. And I never has a dream. I love talking about dreams, but never has a dream literally inspired me to do a project. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a buddy the other day, had a dream about aquariums or something, and now he wants to build a bunch of aquariums. Anyway,
I'm amazed at people like who have dreams and can remember them vividly enough that, well, just that they remember them, because mine are just weird images, and then actually act on them, or they provide them with some sort of inspiration, whether it's a painting or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. I wish I had that kind of connection to my to whatever it is my brain is doing at night.
And so in this dream, I was about to open for somebody. I can't remember who. Somebody specific. I think it might have been Hari Kondabolu.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
A cocky dream.
No, it really was. And I remember, though, in my dream, you would think it would be a real stress dream. Like, I'm about to go on, but I don't have any jokes. But weirdly, I was super chill about it. And
nice.
I kept thinking, I should have come up with some jokes. It'll be fine. It's 5 minutes. It'll be fine. This is long before the whole snacks thing.
Right.
And I woke up from that dream. This was a nap I took in the middle of the day, and so I think our brain kind of has different reactions to things in that kind of sleep. And so there was a very really blurry line between me awake and me coming out of that dream, and I remember still carrying this feeling of, I need a set. I need some jokes. And while I was laying there in my bed in some weird state, I thought of an idea very similar to yours. I'm not trying to steal it. And I would never be able to pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it'd be really cool to have like a 5-minute set where I get up there and I say, I'm going to tell one joke. That's all I have. I got to fill 5 minutes here. Now I'm doing your voice. I'm like, I only have like 5 minutes, but I only have one joke. I really think you're going to like it. And then I just keep stalling and stalling and stalling and working a bunch of jokes. And then at the end, you tell the one joke and it refers back.
That's
way
great.
More complicated than anything I will ever
brilliant.
Do. It's
brilliant.
If you could do it, sure.
There's something
but
like
Genevieve has been advising me to just write some jokes.
I think you should definitely write some jokes, but if you do that, I think you should start with the I've got one joke for you, but have some incidentals in there.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and then just do what your dream said, psycho.
Well, I'm not going to do what the dream said, but I did start an email chain to myself. When I think of something funny, I'll write it, but it's like I don't have any jokes. I just have weird observations. The other day, probably late at night, probably not as sober as I should
have
been.
Were you having some clarity?
I was having some clarity. I emailed myself something
that's
like...
That's the new name for
just,
it.
Find it. I'll just do it because I'm laying myself out there.
I
but
love
this.
Let's go.
But it's not a joke. I'm telling you, this is not a joke. This is just something I emailed myself that I will never use. And I just wrote, I wonder what the last tweet will be. Which is actually kind of dark now, but like I don't know. That's not a joke.
Well,
just
let me ask you this: would you, but in Prizzy's voice? I wonder what. No, wait. Why did? Who was that? Who just? What
was
just
that
came
Louis
out of
Armstrong?
Me?
I see, what a Prizzy world! I see tweets of blue.
What? This is a question, though, Andrew. Which is that is an interesting thought. The question of like what. Like, because, okay, let's just do this.
It's not funny.
Kobe Bryant's last tweet was congratulating LeBron James on passing him for the scoring record. Oh. And I thought about that. I still consider Kobe Bryant's legacy to be complicated. But I thought of that and I thought, huh, that's a pretty good last tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to, and it's him just saying, like, you know, congratulations, I forget it. But it's like, I think sometimes, like, what if my last tweet was like, Still seats available for a live wire. Or what's like the most mundane, yeah. Like, use the code TBTL calms.com/TBTL. Like, what's a thing that's just like, there's going to be, you know, and Twitter is just one example, but there's going to be this, presumably this interruptus to the end of our time. So that's
Tony Romo is patient zero.
That's right. Exactly. Oh, man. That's a good reason to delete it. Let's see what. Oh, God. Dude, I can't.
What is your last tweet?
I have to live at least another few hours because my last tweet is so weird right now. Oh, my God. This. So let me give you the lead up. Can I give you the story of why this is the tweet that will probably be my legacy? No. Our friend the Stubot, he tweeted out a picture of the actor Stanley Tucci, you know, from Big Night and other such things, standing next to a wood fire pizza oven. And he said, when it's BOGO at, and then he listed some pizza place, presumably in like the Twin Cities that I don't know about. And it reminded me of a thought that I've had for a long time, which is that, you know, BOGO is what everybody says now for buy one, get one free. But it doesn't really make sense because it's just buy one, get one, which is how buying an individual thing works.
Right,
it should be BOGOF.
Right. Yeah, right.
Buy one, get one free. By losing the F, you have basically made it not make sense. So I saw Stu's tweet, and it reminded me that I've been thinking this for a long time, that it should be BOGOF. So then I wrote, BOGO should really be BOGOF, otherwise it just means buy one, get one, which is how buying one item works. But I didn't want to leave it there, so I just added Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. And people are confused. It's
almost to that 100 mark, though, that benchmark that you need to keep a tweet.
The funny part is, I know, we'll see if it gets there. Now that I talk about it, people will probably... Yeah.
I hope people remove your likes.
That's a joke. First of all, I just watched the 60 Minutes on Jeffrey Epstein, like, which was intense. If you're interested in that story, would recommend. But then also Sharon Alfonsi does a really nice piece on that. But then also, it's a joke about how people are now saying that. It's not even about Jeffrey Epstein in my mind. It's about what's the weirdest thing that could be at the end of this statement about BOGO.
What about this? This is playing right to you. Young Honey tweeted at you, Luke, you are very good at Twitter. I appreciate your spoofs.
That's my other account.
I see.
Young Honey.
I
send myself three. So anyway, back to the question, Andrew, of your last tweet, which is a great podcast Rachel Bell and I are launching next week. No. Could you think about what you're doing up there if you were to actually do this? Could you think about it in a different way to where you're not going for laughs, to where you're being more – like when we do TBTL Live, we certainly want people to laugh and enjoy themselves. But it's like we're not expecting it to be 60 minutes of laughs. Could you rethink what you're doing so that you don't feel so much stress around it, so you could talk about stuff like that? And it doesn't have to be just joke, joke, joke.
Well, I think that was the clarity speaking in that one. But I have a longer email to myself, and I've mentioned this to you on the show before. I didn't tell you in this context why I was thinking about it, but I think my best bet is to go with what you know and talk about my grocery store experience.
Yes, we did. We have talked about this, and that's a solid
premise. Because I have a lot of stuff, like grocery store elevators are weird. I'm stealing that from Hannah, but it is true. Like, I have a friend,
a lot of
Hannah, who
BOGO
will not,
sales
she
don't
will not
make
go
sense.
Into grocery store elevators.
Yeah, why is that so weird?
They're just so cold.
They only go one floor. They're usually going from a parking garage, and you're like, is this going to stop at the CVS?
Yep, and they're somewhere between like a worker's elevator. What would you call it? Utility?
Sure. There's often some people who might be experiencing homelessness and around it. It's just a whole
just
thing.
Vibe.
That's
yeah,
a very, so very, very good
sounds
option.
Sounds like a elevator.
Heyo.
So anyway, I do think there's something about the way now I'm just
let's do it. Let's workshop it.
I do think there's a way, although Genevieve says this is not relatable and it's just me, that you kind of whisper an excuse me in a grocery store. Do you guys do that? Like,
yes.
If I'm pushing, if somebody is standing looking at a bunch of stuff and then I'm pushing my cart in front of them between them and the shelf they're looking at, I always do a excuse me. And I do it in this very whispered kind of way.
I do that same thing, and I've thought about that because to me it kind of sounds like I'm saying not excuse me. It's more like psh, psh.
Yeah, right.
You can barely hear yourself.
Yep. Maybe we should just start
saying excuse me.
Excuse me.
It's very in my mind for some reason very important that I make sure that the other person doesn't think that I'm mad at them, even if I am slightly annoyed.
Yeah.
So I was in Hagen the other day and I had a grocery cart and somebody was doing something that was just like not the greatest move, but whatever. So I had to do this very involved getting around them. And then they were like, oh, I'm sorry. And then I was like, oh, no, no, it's no problem. Like, I was going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
I like to do a figure seven in the produce aisle. I do that if you're not even here. I'm just doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why it was so important to me to be cool guy to her,
you know,
even though she was technically being annoying.
I only do that to the people who aren't being annoying because I am annoyed. Like, I go through the grocery store annoyed by everybody. I don't know why I have such a chip on my shoulder.
And yet it's your favorite place to
go. I love going to the grocery store, but if anybody is doing any violating any of the what I consider to be norms of grocery store behavior, which is like don't just – we were talking about this literally yesterday, Luke, I think Wednesday on the show. Don't leave your cart just like where suddenly your mind wandered in the middle of the aisle
and force
me to go around it. So
technically that cart – is sort of free reign. You can grab whatever you want out of that cart.
Yeah,
if nobody's
that's your
near
rule?
It. Well, I'm just making that rule up now, but it sounds like a good one.
Or just push it away. But anyway.
I almost stole a cart in Lowe's the other day. That's what we were talking about.
But then, real low for you.
But then there are the people, like those people I will not.
That's a low for the show.
Those people I will not give no problem to because it was a problem. But then every now and then the people who do apologize are the ones who are not even making any egregious thing. And so then those people I'm like bending over. No, you've done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. We're all just living in this space together.
Because there is a camaraderie amongst the over-apologizers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There are the people that as they move through the world are apologizing to everyone all the time about being problematic in some way. And then there are people that should be doing more apologizing and aren't.
Right.
And they're never the same person.
They're never the same person.
I try to find, as you guys probably do, a good balance of when you're supposed to say sorry versus when you're not. Because the over-apologizers, it's too much. It's just way too much. And it's just like, I'm the one who bumped into you, which I did not mean to do. Why are you apologizing to me?
I know.
What are you really like in your real life? Are you that weak?
Well, I'll tell you what really throws me. No worries or a you're fine.
I know.
I don't know.
That,
as I wrote on Twitter,
fine,
that's
I
a way
like.
You get to live rent-free in my head for a minimum of 24 hours.
You're fine
because
triggers me.
Because sometimes I'm apologizing, I guess, probably to be like the good guy. So if I'm doing something and I apologize, in my mind, I think I probably don't have to apologize for this, but I will because I'm being a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the response from the person is, you're fine. And I'm like, oh, really?
Oh, you're telling me?
Because let me just explain to you, that wasn't even a real apology for me. I wasn't even doing anything wrong. I'm fine. Or no, you're good. I'm good. Yeah, I know I'm good, bitch.
Yeah. Wow.
I didn't say the full word.
No, I know. No, that's very internet-y what you said. I heard.
But that's weird because it's like I'll do this. I mean, this is why I'm a terrible person because I'll say something, but I'm expecting a certain response. Mm-hmm. And if I don't get that response or something that even slightly sounds like they were thinking I was being annoying, it's all over. Okay, Andrew, back to this. I don't want to say performance. I don't want to stress you out.
Also, I don't think I'm – I mean, listen, there's a very good chance that Celine and or Snacks will hear this. And so I want to put out there right now, I don't want to be held to that one-year date. I will consider this – I will continue to do this as an intellectual exercise, and maybe someday I will feel confident. But I don't know. I have a lot of regrets about putting myself out there.
What I wanted to ask you, though, is like you enjoy doing TBTL live events, right? Like when we're in the midst of them or when they're done or like – I mean because we do sort of a performative stuff now on a not infrequent basis.
But it's very different. And also, I mean –
fine.
I'll
come do the set with you.
I was thinking maybe my stand-up should just be reading a bunch of your jokes off of Twitter.
Oh, dear God.
And just see how that
goes.
What
a nightmare for those
people.
No, but I mean like do you –
But no, it's just – first of all, I was very nervous when I first started doing it. And now that it's different. Like we have conversations. It's spoofing. It's I mean, to the degree that when I'm trying to make people laugh, it's just more improv and jumping off of things that you said. And it's also not funny all the time.
I am imagining – I just sort of worked out for a second and was just imagining you standing up there kind of just talking but with a smile on your face and you got some notes. I think people would be laughing. I think
am I talking or am I just smiling and holding notes?
You will say a joke and then people might laugh or might not laugh and then you're just kind of like – wryly going like, I don't think that was I was having clarity when I came up with that one. And then people are laughing. I just astrally for the second time, let's reference that, I just projected myself into I don't know, a year or 2 years or 5 years from now, of you doing this performance, you are for some reason dressed like Columbo. But saying explicit. It feels to me like
can I borrow your prizzy wig.
A positive it seemed – I think you would – I bet you would do better than you're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you have to do it. Obviously, you get to live your life. But – and I don't want you to also be afraid of telling me things, Andrew, because I'm going to make
right,
it into
right,
because
you're going to exploit it.
Yes, I don't want that to be the nature of our relationship anymore.
What Andrew's exploitation.
What if you and I, Andrew, did a little duo comedy thing? You want to do Who's On First? We could do that as a warm-up.
Just,
we're Lenny and Larry. We just got done making the cookies.
I would be happy to work on a project
with you. We've got a deal on this microwave.
I don't know exactly what – I don't want to do Who's On First.
Okay. What if your name is Prizzy and your name is Zahner and it's Prizzy's Honor and you just do scenes from the movie Prizzy's Honor?
Wow. That's Luke, that is awesome. That's a great idea.
I'll be the Colonel Parker of this. I'll produce it.
You know what I love about this,
I'll
though,
steal money from it.
The idea is just so relatable. It's just like you want to fish where the fish are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
All right. Speaking of which, I wonder when the next – we've spent so much time talking about it. I wonder when the next one of these snacks shows is coming up. There's probably got to be a Facebook page or
you
internet
know what?
Or something.
Yeah, follow Snacks on Instagram. And I know that Snacks did post the next date recently. So one is coming up. I just don't have it in front of me. My apologies.
Okay. A couple of things as we are going to do some music for your weekend and then we're going to wrap it up. As this is airing, I will be probably on an airplane. I'm going to LA. I'm interviewing the singer and actor Mandy Moore. Sean, what would you ask Mandy Moore if you had a chance? Would you ask, who are you?
No, I know who Mandy Moore
is. Oh, okay.
Well, I guess I would ask her.
If she wants to be in the Prizzy's Honor act, we could use a third wheel. Mm-hmm.
Make sure to get this out of your system before you interview her, Luke, because these are horrible.
I'm nervous about it because how dare you? This is your final show this week with us, and Sean, Zhuge, a.k.a. Drew. I'm nervous about it because when I do these interviews with women typically, there's a lot of them having a team of people doing their makeup and hair, and they look very lovely always in my experience. And that only highlights how much I don't have a team doing makeup and hair and how troll-like I become. Like, if I'm interviewing another guy, they don't usually have that. They don't have – it's called glam. Mm-hmm. They call it in the biz. There's not glam. There will be a lot of Mandy Moore glam, and there is a zero Luke Burbank glam. And so that's going to kind of suck. So I'm
So you're saying Sean and I need to go down there.
Would
you
guys consider coming down and being my glam crew?
Absolutely.
Sure. Do you guys know about –
it's about contours.
I'm really good.
Yeah, that's
I'm good at eyes. I'm good at eyelashes
smoky,
and eyebrows.
Smoky eyelashes.
Give you some accentuate your cheekbones a little bit.
Okay, good. This is working.
Take that gray out.
Yep.
Or add more in.
Whatever you like, Silver Fox.
Okay, cool. All right, so that's my weekend. What are you doing this weekend, Sean?
This weekend, I am going to be working with a couple of women on their podcast. I engineer their show.
This is a great chance to mention to people, SeanDeTore.com, where people can go for any kind of podcast production, consulting, recording, what have you?
It's more like post-editing, but we could probably, if need to, we could probably work something out recording-wise, but I'm thinking more generally.
I see. They give you a file, and you make it sound so nice.
So nice. And I have price points on the website. But I'm recording with these two women. It's called Sorry to Podcast. It's about social justice.
Wow.
And I'm learning a lot about things that are going on or how certain people, how people are sort of changing the way they speak today compared to how we used to speak 20, 30 years ago. So I'm learning a lot. And so I'm going to be doing that and then just really relaxing. And I don't really have any other plans. It's going to be really nice.
Okay, good. Nice. Walsh, what are you going to be doing?
Oh, this weekend? Didn't see this. How did I not see this question coming? Let me literally look at my calendar. This is so boring.
This is always a complicated answer for you.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm clear this weekend.
No, because.
I'm clear.
Because.
Sweet.
Exactly.
I got no. I'm
You're
wide open.
You're gonna go big and go home.
Yeah. I got some lunch plans tomorrow with Phyllis and our friend Elissa.
So
that,
you got
that's,
nothing
that's
on the calendar.
It. I
this
will
weekend.
Say this is kind of an interesting little update in my social life, though, related to rollerblading. Shawnee, do you know that I got a pair of rollerblades for my birthday in late November?
That sounds made up.
Nope, I really did. I've been wanting rollerblades for a really long time. Okay. Genevieve thought it was a big joke, but it wasn't. And then finally she got me rollerblades, which is weird because I'm an adult. I could have bought my own, but I didn't. Anyway, on my 43rd birthday, I got these rollerblades, and it's been kind of nasty outside, but I signed up for some adult rollerblading lessons,
really?
Which is like regular rollerblading, only naked. No, but there's this place in Bellevue that teaches kids, but they also have adult classes, and so I did that twice, and I met this fella named Art. He was the only other adult who was learning the very, very basics with me on the very first time, and I was glad that he was a guy who's I mean, I don't think he knows what I do. I doubt he listens. I hope this is an insult. But he's probably built like me, kind of tall, not super athletic looking. And he was there with his kids who are really, really good rollerbladers. And apparently his wife is a good rollerblader. And he's like, well, they wanted me to do it. So if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. And so he was taking these classes. I went to two classes. They broke for the holidays. They took 2 weeks off, the classes did. And then I never went back. Mm. And I'm just kind of like, I still want to do it, but maybe I got the basics down now. I'll wait till it's nicer outside.
Okay.
Then I'll go around Green Lake. And then if I need more training, I'll go back to it.
So you've got the basics. You could, in theory, go out right now and rollerblade.
Maybe, yeah, in a safe place.
Right.
Like I wouldn't want to go on the sidewalks yet. But point is, I thought, you know what? Maybe I'm just done with the lessons. Maybe forever. Maybe not. I got a text message from Art yesterday because Art told me, then the day I met him, he's like, we always go to Linwood Roller Rink on Wednesdays when we do our practicing. And I said, oh, yeah, maybe I'll meet you there sometime. But me and Art have, you know, gone our own ways during the holidays. And
you bladed apart.
He just texted me last night and said, hey, man, you should join us. We're going to Linwood
Rollaway
right now, and we'll be there until about 8. And I said, I can't right now. I was at Teddy's.
I'm at Make My Feelings Roll Away.
That's right.
It's a whole different operation.
But, like, you know, this kind of goes back to the snacks thing. I mean, sometimes we need people in our lives to hold us accountable, even if it just means getting out of the house from time to time. And I was really flattered that Art was still thinking of me and that he wanted me to go rollerblading with his family. So I think I might do that next Wednesday. That was
Excellent.
A very long story, Luke. You just asked me what I'm doing this weekend.
And you said you both
You'll spend the weekend getting ready for Wednesday.
I'm worrying about it.
You said Art and you kind of share sort of body traits and stuff. Is this going to turn into a single white female situation? Are you really just doing this to take over for Art and
his
family?
By the way, it's Art Alexakakis, lead singer of Everclear.
Yes. I don't know if that's a good description of his body. In other words, I was really worried that I'd be with all these very, like, fit, athletic people who just kind of exude that, oh, yeah, we take exercise classes all the time or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was not like that. He was just a guy like me.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will be, because where I'm staying in L.A., I'm staying kind of in Santa Monica near the beach. I will be with those exact people that are your living nightmare, Andrew.
Yeah.
I'll be jogging along the path in Santa Monica. Looking at people, there's all these outdoor exercise like bars, and people can do like insane amounts of chin-ups and
Muscle Beach
things. That's Venice, and
that's Venice,
lifting.
Yeah.
This is more like even harder looking to me, even more impossible to me. Is like it's just like stuff that you would have had at your like middle school playground, but these are adult people who can just do like 50 bar dips, you know what I mean, or whatever. I'll be jogging past those people feeling terrible about myself while you are getting prepared to rollerblade with Art and his family feel great about yourself.
That's
right. Going in different directions.
It's funny, though, because those are, I think that's where I got the germ of the idea way back when I was living in L.A. and seeing people rollerblade around in Santa Monica on these nice beach paths.
It is Friday, so we should do some music for your weekend. We're excited that Sean is here because you're going to give us a selection. Andrew, though, do you want to start?
Because I was going to ask. We have to go out with one of our songs, right?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, I'm just having this thought. I just had it a few minutes ago. I was going to tell you that my song kind of builds a lot.
Okay.
Can
let's
we
go
out with mine last?
Yeah. Why don't we start with mine then? And, Sean, you know what you're going to do? You've
yes,
got yours
I do.
All selected. Okay.
And I got it here.
This song that I am going to suggest is I'm a buddy of mine in Bellingham runs a great tavern/bar. I guess it's called the Cabin Tavern, but they have strong drink as well. So I don't tavern. I always thought meant that you don't have strong drink; you just have beer and wine. Isn't that usually a defining characteristic of a tavern?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, the Cabin Tavern in Bellingham is a great place. My buddy Christian runs it, and he's a real music head. And he is how I found out about this album. It's called All American Alien Boy. It's by a guy named Ian Hunter. This is from 1976. Ian Hunter is from Mott the Hoople.
Yeah, Ian Hunter. Yeah, all the young dudes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole kind of like Bowie overlap. I got really obsessed with Mott the Hoople for a little while. So this song, which I'd like to suggest, is actually called All American Alien Boy. And I hope I haven't played this for you already, Andrew, because I got kind of obsessed with it, a month or two ago.
I don't think you played this one.
So this is Ian Hunter. This is from 1976. This is All American Alien Boy. This is some of the just most cutting edge music that you'll hear here in 2020.
This came out in the year of our birth.
That's right.
We're all 76ers, right?
77 right here.
Oh, wow, kids. Mm-hmm. God.
They grew up
to
so
be
fast.
Young. All right, here we go. This is my music for your weekend. Ian Hunter. All my music involves sax these days. This, by the way, is Dave Sanborn.
Is it yackety?
I believe this is like famous saxophonist Dave Sanborn. Well, I packed my bag in a land of rags, 'cause I don't believe in empty more drag. Don't wanna vote for the left wing. Wanna vote for the right? I gotta have both to make me fly. Just a whitey from Blighty, but heading out west. I got my little green card and my bulletproof vest. I'm going to Old Tube City, where the buzz is the best. Oh, down the line.
Tim Heidecker.
There's a crazy story about this. The guy who's playing this bass line. This is how this whole conversation started with me and Christian. So this dude who's playing this bass line, I forget what he had done, but he was considered sort of like one of the premier bass players of the time. He played in all these different bands, and then he hit some hard times. And he ended up, this is not going to end well, but it is how the story ends. He ends up sort of on the margins. He's in Florida. I believe there's a concert going on, and he's maybe a little altered. This is years later. And he jumps on stage to like play with the band, and security takes him down.
Yeah,
and he passes away.
Really?
From being taken down by security.
Wow.
Not Ian Hunter, the guy playing bass.
Yeah, yeah. Now I remember you mentioning that. Yeah. So maybe you did play this song once before.
Oh, great.
I didn't remember. It's good.
Again,
it's a good song.
It all blurs together. If everyone's hearing this for the second time, sorry. If you're hearing it for the first time, you're welcome.
Luke, you have no clarity.
I need to get some clarity.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, can you give me some clarity, please?
Clarity clear.
Do not take clarity if you're allergic to clarity. All right, so that's my – I do – by the way, this whole album, All American Alien Boy, is really good.
Isn't that fun when you discover a record like that about someone that you had no idea existed?
And I like every song on it. Like I put it on it. I have recently had the same experience with this older record called UFO by this guy named Jim Sheridan.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing. The whole record from front to back is just incredible. I don't want to be old man Laud's music of his era, but it's like I do wonder if people were making albums differently in those days because there was more of an expectation that someone might listen to them front to back.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that as I've been listening to some older music, I've found it conceptually to hold together a little more tightly.
I think definitely.
As a thing.
One of my favorite conversations is how the technology actually moves music. You just think, oh, we make music and then whatever platform we put it on. But no, I mean, from the album era of the way you'd create an arc on side one and then mm-hmm. a different one on side two, like that jazz music used to, songs were a certain length because of the size of the 78s.
Mm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Sean, what song are you suggesting for the listeners?
Yeah. So this is a band that I just discovered. They're called Men I Trust. I had my Pandora on some sort of random radio station. And so this song came on, Men I Trust, Show Me How. And I think they're from Oregon. I could be completely wrong about that. But yeah, it's a great song. Let's listen to it. Hoping that you would like that. I was sitting here playing this song. I remember back when TBTL was OG on the radio. A lot of times I was, you know, you would come in with a lot of the new indie music, and I'm like, Miniature Dinosaur, like or
Ian
miniature
Hunter,
tigers.
1976 classic.
No, but yeah. What I'm going to say is
old
like
miniature
back,
tigers.
Back then I was more of the person playing like all the 70s Van Morrison, and now we've sort of switched places. Yeah. I've got this cool hip music, and you're playing the old 70s stuff.
I like that a lot. Yeah. You always brought in this like stuff. What was that, Fabric? What was that?
Oh, yeah, there's a club in London called Fabric, and they play DJ. It's a DJ club, and I had a collection, a subscription for them. And
Yeah, I remember you used to bring in some cool stuff off of that label or that thing as well. So but that's cool. What's that band called again?
Men I Trust. And that song, that one particular song, just puts me in a nice little headspace.
Yeah,
I just love it.
Yeah, it almost sounds like it's kind of got some Mac DeMarco vibe going off, that kind of guitar that I love so much.
It reminds me of a lot of that loungy stuff that I would listen to in the late 90s, too. I can't think of any of the particular acts, but what I love is I'm watching this video, and it's this young woman who's, you know, wandering around the street singing. I assume that she's the singer. Mm-hmm. What is she wearing like Doc Martin-esque shoes and a barn jacket.
Right.
Like, we're just like, we are definitely reliving my favorite era, which is when I was 18 or whatever. Yeah.
All right, Andrew, what would you like to lay on the listeners here at the end of this broadcast week?
This is a song that I heard when I was not rollerblading yesterday at Teddy's. This from a while ago. It came on the bartender's playlist, and I just really liked it. It's by King Biscuit Time, which was apparently an old radio show, but was also the name of a kind of a solo project by a guy named Steve Mason. I don't know much about him. It sounds like Steve Mason is one of those guys who was – oh, he was in the Beta Band, I think, was a famous band.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the Beta Band, but he was in the Beta Band. And
those
then,
guys are great.
Okay, so I don't know anything really about his world, but I just really liked this music. And again, it kind of reminded me a little bit, especially as the song goes on, of the kind of bliss pop, again, of the very late 90s and early 2000s that I liked a little bit. So this is King Biscuit Time, I Walk the Earth. Do you want me to hold off on playing this?
Sure. Well, you know how it builds. Yeah. So we will say that this is going to be the end of our week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for being part of TBTL. If you wouldn't mind going over to iTunes and rating us, reviewing us, telling your friends about it, that would sure get us out of a couple of jams. Sean DeTore, thanks for being on the show, man.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Very nice to catch up. If people want to see what you're doing, they can go to SeanDeTore.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good place to track your movements.
Yes.
All right. Andrew Walsh, where should people track your movements? The stage at the Albatross Hotel?
I have a log. I've been tracking my own movements. Okay. The doctor says just keep an eye on things, and things should regulate pretty soon.
Good. I'm glad to hear that's turning around for you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right,
you.
Everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll be back here on Monday with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Take me today. Phone rising higher. Why won't you take me away? Take me today. Keep on rising higher.
see your love. I don't know your love. When I walk through the earth, I get stuck in the middle. I can't see your love. I don't know your love. Why won't you take me away? Take me away. Phone rising higher. Why won't you take me away? Take me today. Keep on rising higher.
Power out.